Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
We will faithfully do everything we can to bring encouragement to your life. We like to share pearls of wisdom with you that helps guide us through this good old world we live in. It wouldn't be great if everybody we were exposed to had a strong Christian character and everything was high integrity and everything was very powerful and meaningful. That's just not real world. That's not the world we live in, is it? So we have to figure out how to get around these kinds of issues that sometimes can pull us down. The negative world is all around us. So that's what we try to do. Dave and I try to be your encouragers to share the pearls of wisdom to how to get around difficult times. The reaction that we have to trouble sometimes determines God's reaction to the next time you get into trouble. So if somebody gets into trouble and they have a need, you should be willing to go to bat and help them out. I know just last night I was talking to a lady who needed a wheelchair. She said she just couldn't find a wheelchair. Her insurance company wouldn't give her one, and she has a need for it. She called the local mission here, and they didn't have any in stock to give her. And so she asked me if I could get a wheelchair for her. You know something? I didn't find one yet, but I will. I'm going to find a wheelchair for that lady. And when I do, it's going to make me feel good that I've done something to help somebody else in need. And God will smile at me for that. I believe in his memory bank will say, hey, you know, Giff did somebody a favor, and I'm going to try to return the gesture sometime in the future. And isn't that a good Christian attitude to have, that we help one another and we know that God holds an umbrella over us, and what goes around comes around. And if you're going to help other people are surely going to help you as well.
Hey, every day God brings that kind of situation to us. If you want to see the world who really needs what you have, just look around. I was at the mall the day before yesterday. Judy said, look, just sit here in the car, and I'm going in. I'll be right back. So she left me, and I was all by myself. And I was listening to the radio. And all of a sudden, a knock on my window. And I looked, and there was an old lady. I won't say old, but she looked old. She was haggard. She wasn't dressed right. She hadn't combed her hair in a long time. And she looked with almost tears in her eyes. And she said to me, sir, I have nothing. Do you think you could spare me a few dollars today?
Wow.
And I sat there and I said to myself, boy, oh God, you're putting this down in your record books. When Dave Colonen asks for help, you're going to look back and say, how about that little old lady there that asked you for anything?
Yeah.
And I took out my wallet, and I just said, hey, take this. It's yours. Do what you need to do. And she reached for my money, and she went back. She was out of sight in a short time, and I sat there and I said, God, I think I did the right thing. Because if I'd have pushed her aside and then asked you for, hey, aren't you going to help me, Lord? Now, look at this project I'd really like to have. I need this and this and this. And you would have said, Dave, what did you do with that little lady that was an angel? And it was a God moment.
Yes, it was.
It was, and it was just, the mall was just, everybody was going every way and in and out and up and down, cars here and cars. And this little old lady stopped me for a God moment. What are you going to do now, Dave? And many people say, don't give her any money. She doesn't deserve it. She didn't work for it, blah, blah, blah. But I was stopped in my tracks.
Yes.
And God said, if you're ever going to ask me for something, you better help this lady right now.
Boy, that's a tough one, though, Dave. There's, you and I are two of a kind, because I would have done exactly what you did. But if you remember, reflect back just a month, maybe 2 months ago, I'm not sure how long ago it was now, we had a gentleman here. We interviewed him on one of your shows, in fact. And he was telling us about that very problem right here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, where they had people that would stand on the street corners asking for money, and they didn't need the money. It was just a good way for them to make an extra $150 a night.
Oh, boy.
Remember that story that guy was telling us then?
Yeah.
Hey, well, they asked for diapers, and if somebody would actually give him diapers, then he gave them away. But most of the time, people gave him money because they didn't have diapers. And he said, I need diapers for my baby. Can you give me some money to go buy diapers? Remember that story?
Right, yep.
So, well, you know, there's other people out there that are going to try to hustle you. But the good Lord provides, and you have to try to sort those out, see if you can determine the good ones from the bad ones, the needy ones from those who are just greedy. And unfortunately, you notice those things more at Christmas time than you do any other time of year. I don't know why. I guess the greedy get more greedy at Christmas because it's easier. Yeah. I don't know what it is. But it's a hard pill sometimes. When you see somebody, I mean, we've all seen those people standing on the street corners or standing in the driveways at the shopping center or all standing there with them. You know, sometimes they're holding a little sign, you know, I need diapers and you give me some money or I haven't eaten in 2 days or something like that. There's all kinds of You just never know.
I'm in charge of a small group in our church.
Uh-huh.
We have about 35 people that are in our small group. And we have chosen two families from our church
mm-hmm.
who don't have everything, who are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to present them at Christmas. We got 35 people bringing 35 gifts. You'll never know what difference that makes.
That's right.
And people's lives that didn't expect it, need it, but didn't want to worry anybody. With it, those are the kind of people you like to help.
Yeah, I know.
You like to just reach out and say, "Hey, can you help me? Can you help me?" Those are big words.
The stirring,
big
quite stirring.
Words,
yes,
big words
make your heart melt to think about it.
Yep,
that's exactly right, and that's what we're here for. The older I get, the more I learn to appreciate that our major function here on this good old world that we live in is to take care of each other. That's a I was told that when I was a younger man, but I just never learned to fully appreciate it until I had enough years under my belt where I realized that I can help other people in many, many ways. There's not just with a dollar bill, but there's lots of ways to help other people. And that's extremely, extremely important. And the older I get, the more important it becomes to me. I wish somebody would have poured that into me when I was a young man. But it is very important that we take care of our friends in need. And we don't know how blessed we are. I'll share a quick story with you, Dave. It's a story that I heard from one of our missionaries that came to our church and speaking with us there. Oh, it must have been 20, 25 years ago. It came to our church. And he was talking about an experience he had in Kentucky. He went to Kentucky. I'm not sure the exact mission he was associated with, so I won't say what I think it was. But he was in Kentucky, and he was trying to help some of these people that were disadvantaged in the Appalachian area. And he got into this one household, and he was painting this lady's room. She was a senior person. And in this house, there was no electricity and no running water. And this elderly lady was living by herself. And he thought, you know, I can't fix everyone's problem, but I bet I could help this lady. I could drill a well and put a small kitchen and a small bathroom in here and give her running water and electricity, and I could do that without being elaborate. I could do that. This is an older story, so the dollar value was a little less then. But he said, I could do that for about $10,000. So he went up to this lady, and he looked at her and said, Ma'am, can you tell me, what would you do if somebody gave you $10,000? And she looked at him and said, well, I'd probably give it to the poor. You know, so how do you measure wealth? How do you measure greatness? How do you measure living the good life? It's all what you're accustomed to. This lady didn't think of herself as being poor or disadvantaged. She appreciated that she had somebody coming and willing to paint one of her rooms of her house. That's all she wanted in life. She didn't think that she was disadvantaged in any way. And so, you know, it's a wonderful world we live in, and helping other people is something we all can do. Just about every single one of us can help other people in some regard. And then just because someone doesn't live as well as you do, doesn't mean that they're not living as well as they want to live. And I think there's an awful lot of truth in those words. I think that every one of us today that reached our senior years, we are exactly where we thought we would be 30 years ago. Wherever you thought you were going to be, that's where you are. So your feelings, your thoughts, your ambition, your work, your desires, whatever you think of is where you are, and that's where you're headed. If you're thinking negative and nasty, you're going to live negative and nasty. If you're thinking good and godly, you're going to be good and godly. That's just life. You make your own life. Or what you can tolerate is pretty much what you cannot change. You cannot change other people. You can't change your relatives. But you can change your habits. So if you can tolerate it, well, it's not going to change on you. That's just the life that we live in. I have a strong dislike for the idea of abortion. This country has lost 60 million babies due to abortion over the last, how long has it been, 40 years? 60 million babies, but I've learned to tolerate it. So there's not much I'm going to be able to do to change it in my lifetime. Isn't that terrible that we learn to tolerate some things that, well, that automatically means if you can tolerate it, then you're not going to be able to change it. How about if I said something like the waves of yesterday's disobedience will splash on the shores of today for a season? I like that phrase. I'm not sure where I picked that up, but that's kind of deep, isn't it? And I agree with that. You know, we don't want to do wrong. I don't know that anybody ever wakes up in the morning and says, you know something I'm going to do to mess up with my children's mind today? Nobody does that. You don't deliberately cause pain to family and friends and loved ones. I don't think anybody does that. But the world we live in can lead us astray. It can make us think of what's in it for me, or how do I get ahead, or what do I have to do to win? And sometimes it can be a terrible answer, and people will fight for it. So don't do anything wrong. Don't fall into that umbrella that you're willing to do or say anything to get ahead. That's just no way to live. You will never outgrow warfare. You must simply learn to fight it off. You know, it comes natural. You know, arguments, debates, issues of differences. And who can say who is always correct? I try not to be too critical of other people who might disagree with me, because I don't know that there is any right answers to issues. Nothing is ever as bad as it first appears. I mean, there's all kinds of issues to be facing. Capital punishment's a good example. I used to be strongly in favor of capital punishment. I say, hey, you know, it costs us $20,000 a year to keep these prisoners in jail. If they've done something that warrants capital punishment, well, let's take care of it. But I don't know if that's such a good idea anymore, because the Bible speaks against it, and I've done some research in that area, and the Bible does speak against capital punishment. I remember going to a Bible study once for lay speaker school that I attended, and they would go over these principles that our church stands for, and one of them was capital punishment, and you had to, we read all these principles, and then we had to find one that we disagreed with. And mine was capital punishment. Then we had to speak in favor of it. So I did a lot of research, and I found that the Bible actually does speak against it. I didn't know that. And with this day and age, with DNA testing and processing, we find out that people have been in jail for 20 years, and then we find out they were innocent. And so, wow, that makes you kind of wonder about how our legal system. So I don't know. Those kinds of issues makes you stop and swallow hard, doesn't it? Maybe I should lighten up in some of my opinions, or I shouldn't be so harsh. And examples like that makes you want to say, well, maybe things aren't as bad as I first thought they were.
Sometimes on the radio, you say things that you would have never said, but radio gave you an outreach.
Yeah.
And sometimes maybe God saved all that stuff so that you could help somebody by speaking on a program. And I'm praying that people will find themselves helped by listening and putting into their heart the things that God is saying to them. You can do as big for God as you want. You can try to give God, give somebody $10 and watch the Lord give to you, but did you ever try to give $1,000? Did you ever try to give $5,000? Did you ever try to give $8,000? I've done all of those.
Have you?
And I've watched. I give it on Sunday, and before Wednesday, I already have it back.
Yeah.
In some miraculous, unbelievable way that I never dreamed possible.
Yeah.
So it's a life you have to trust God for. It doesn't come easy. When you get a $10 bill in your wallet and that's the only one you have left, you're not going to give it away so easy to say, hey, here's a 10. If you have 100, you might give 10.
Right.
Okay? But try God. Why don't you try him this week? Why don't you say, I'm going to church this week and I'm going to give such and such money, and I'm asking the Lord to give it back to me, maybe fourfold. Who knows?
See if it happens.
It does. I'm proof that God gives it back. You can do ministry. You can do it for free. I come down here. I've been down here 1,350 times.
That's right.
And you guys have never written me a check.
Never gave you a check. Yeah.
But you know what? People say, Dave, why don't you get a job that pays?
Yeah.
And I said, hey, God pays me bigger than anybody would pay me.
That's right.
And so far, man, I've gotten more than my share of ways that God blesses me in my living.
Wow. What a testimony. And I quite agree with you. I completely concur. By the way, my pay is double yours. Yes, but isn't it amazing that those rewards that we have to reach into our senior years before we fully appreciate just how powerful that really is? It's just truly amazing. The Lord will reward you for giving every case. In fact, the very first person I heard say, you can't outgive the Lord, you know who that was? That stuck with me. I know I've heard you say it many times, but the first person who said it to me was a lady named Judy Colonin. Yes, I heard her say it, and that really stuck with me, because I believe that's right. A person who gives and gives and gives and gives is going to receive and receive and receive and receive. I sincerely believe that. And of course, you know, you can get carried away with that. Is it greed? Do you give away so you can get more? Well, no, that's not the reason you do it. That's just the rewards you receive.
I was watching a television program, and a preacher came on and talked about he got a brand new car. And the next Sunday or something, God said, give that car to that person. They need it more than you do.
Wow.
He said, God, I just got it. He says, give it to her. He gave it to her, and five cars came to him.
You're kidding.
Yeah, people keep coming. You need this, you need this, you need this, you need this. In fact, and he gave all five cars away, and before long, somebody gave him an airplane.
Wow.
And he wanted to give more and more because God blessed him every time he gave something. Whoa! I can hardly wait then. Somebody's pulling up to the driveway with more than I ever gave.
My, oh, my.
And you know what I said? That guy was preaching to thousands of people, and they all went out there, all trying God.
Yes.
I'd love to hear the report of 2,000 people, maybe. 2,000 people that
gave away.
Well, then it's the man whose church has jumped to 57,000 people.
Is that right? Wow.
Yes.
Isn't that incredible?
That's God's given it back to him, everything he ever gave.
Yeah.
And then some. And he'll never be in want, that's for sure.
That's just fantastic. Boy, that's evidence of God's presence, isn't it? Well, the evidence of God's presence far outweighs the proof of his absence. And that example you just gave probably is one of the very best. You can't outgive God. And I sincerely believe that. If you learn to share what God has given to you with those others that are perhaps not as fortunate as you are, you will be truly rewarded. 1 hour in the presence of God will reveal any flaw in your most carefully laid plans. So if you do have some ideas you want to lay out and you want to figure out how to obtain a new job or figure out how to obtain a new home or a new automobile or something that you don't already possess, think it through and lay it all out. And if there's a flaw in it, God will tell you. And you will find out and you will learn not to be overly anxious, overly ambitious, but think it through and work with God for your ideas. And your most carefully laid plans will come to fruition, and you will grow and you will learn. Never spend more time on a critic than you would on a friend. Sometimes we all have that little issue with us. We tend to talk to people that try to solve our worldly problems with someone who can't fix your problem, someone who's negative, someone who's critical, someone who's down in the whole world. We all know somebody like that, a coworker, a family member, a neighbor, somebody who's always just negative. They are not going to change their ways.
It's good to just put something down in your mind. Never discuss your problem with someone who can't solve it.
That's a good way to say it. I like that.
If you can keep that in your heart, you'll find yourself going a lot further down the highway than you ever dreamed. So, greatness is not a pursuit of perfection. It's a pursuit of completion. You might not do it right, but at least you completed the job.
Get her done.
And that works. That works in a lot of people's lives today. They pursue only to be perfect and never to be complete.
Yeah, so that's a big difference, isn't it? Yes.
You that are listening today, to Giff and I, we're talking to you about so many areas of your life that God waits to see how you handle it.
Yeah.
And if we can help you handle your life a little bit, then we will succeed in our work. And coming here every week and getting behind the microphone and trying to help you discover how to be the best person you could ever be and how can God help you. He came to help you. He is the great gift giver. And Christmas is the time to think about giving. Giving gifts and receiving gifts. It's all a part of life. And we're entering the journey of going through Christmas with our gifts and our giving.
Well, I couldn't have said it any better. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you saying that. You know, it's about time for us to close up today. I want to close with one positive subject here, and then we'll have to say goodbye. You're putting all these thoughts together. The buzzword that jumps out at me is respect. We really have to respect all of those people that are around us. And those who do not respect your assignment disqualify themselves for a relationship. We've got to be able to respect other people's ambitions, other people's ideas, other people's dreams. People with no dreams have no focus. They have no future. You have to dream about where you want to be. And the younger you are, the more important your dreams are. And so I beg the young people to have high hopes, dream big, and respect those people that are around you, and be reluctant to lean on anybody for any reason unless you have absolute just cause to do so. It's respect. That's the key thing that gets us through this good old world we live in. Dave, we've about exhausted our time, so I have to say goodbye from now, but do you have any closing thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners on today's material?
Well, you know, I have an old car in my garage. It's a 1977. That's a long time ago.
That's an old car.
It's been sitting there. It hasn't started for over 15 years. And it needs a new harness. You ever take a wiring harness out of a car and then put another new one back in? It's hours and hours of tedious work going down through the doors and in these little holes that they have to put it through. And lo and behold, I'd given up. And I'd said, well, someday I'm just going to pitch the car and put it out in the driveway and let it rust to death. The guy came in and said, Dave, I go to church with you and your family, and I respect you very much, and I'm coming over. I'm going to fix your car for free. And so he comes every Tuesday and works on that car. Wow. He's got the old harness out and the new harness in. And in a few weeks, I don't care. Come when you can. He's coming, and he's working hard, and I'm going to have a car that's going to start finally.
How about that?
So keep in touch. Yeah. Keep tuned. You'll hear our report.
See how that goes. Isn't that amazing? And this guy's not charging you anything.
No, free. I mean, it's a big job. A big job. Oh, thousands of dollars.
Huge. Yeah.
Yes, thousands of dollars.
Wow.
So that's how God pays me back.
God's paying you back.
Right.
That's just fantastic.
Are we through?
Well, we have to say goodbye. We've exhausted our time. Jeremy's not waving his arms at us over there, but he's thinking it. Hey, you guys, be quiet.
I saw it. I looked out of the corner of my eye to see what he was doing.
We thank Jeremy Ross. He's our engineer who makes all this possible for us. He does a mighty fine job for Cumberland Valley Christian Radio. We thank you, my friend. For now, we must say goodbye.
See you later. Bye-bye.